Right, the lines is Anna Lowe is with us now this morning. Good morning to you, Anna. Good morning.
Hi there. Absolutely appalled to hear David Menary peddling that sort of myths again. These people...
Well, can I just remind people, Anna Lowe, what he said on Nolan this morning, and then, of course, we'll get your reaction. Here's what Mr. McNary said on Nolan.
It's very easy
today.
To, and I do understand those who, perhaps it's their makeup, getting emotionally hysteric over this. It was undoubtedly shocking photo in the front of yesterday's papers, as you say, and you'd really need to be a heartless brute not to have been sickened by the photograph of the little boy.
Where's the emotional hysteria
around
that? I'm
talking about the reaction to it. The reaction to it is, how do we cope with this? Are we going to bring people in to give them shelter, heat and food? Because nobody would say, no, I wouldn't do that.
You are saying no to that, are you not?
No. There's nobody would say, I wouldn't do that. But are we going to give them permanent residence? Where will the houses come from? The jobs, where will the jobs come from? And the school places be found eventually? And how will that sit with the people who today in my country are looking for a job, they're waiting on a house, and they're unable to get their child the school place that they want?
Anna Lowe?
Hello, yes. Stephen, I've been waiting for 20 minutes. I have to go. I have a meeting to go. But what I want to say is to remind people... In the late 1970s, about 1979, 1980, we took in a lot of Vietnamese refugees. Now, same like what's happening now, they're not economic migrants. They are refugees fleeing wars, fleeing persecutions from in their own country. And the majority of them actually went to neighboring countries rather than coming to Europe. And for weeks now, we've been seeing pictures. All we wanted, I'm really ashamed of the British government, was to spend money putting up fences to stop people from coming. We are the sixth wealthiest economy in the world. We've got to...
Why are you ashamed of the British government?
Of not taking in people, not taking in refugees. They are not economic migrants. All we cared about is putting fences to keep them out. Surely... When we look at the experience in taking in Vietnamese people into Northern Ireland, we took in several hundred of them. I was involved in helping them to settle in Craigavon. They all had houses in Craigavon. They all found jobs, or they set up their own business. I had not seen many of them going on the dole. Large majority
of them. How welcoming, Anna Lowe, do you think, in reality, Northern Ireland would be to refugees, given how we've seen some Polish people in this country have been treated?
Yes, but I think by and large, people in Northern Ireland are warm-hearted. They are hospitable. And in crisis like this, I think many of us, people here in Northern Ireland, would open our hearts, will open our arms to welcome people, to help them to save their lives, to help them to get a better life, to keep the children safe. It's been weeks now. We've been sitting, watching night after night, seeing people clamouring onto trains, hiding in lorries, dying on the roads. Surely we must do something. This is the time for all the parties to unite and say we must help these people. Surely there needs to be coordination. The EU need to say countries to divide up how many people should go to each country.
Do you think there should be a collective voice from Northern Ireland? We do have, Anna Lowe.
Sorry?
We do have an executive here in Northern Ireland. Should there be a collective offer from Northern Ireland? Of course it would be for the Prime Minister to ultimately decide. But should there be a collective offer from this nation, from Northern Ireland, saying to the UK government, here's what the united front of Northern Irish politicians want to offer. We want to bring in whatever. Martin McGuinness has said 2,000 refugees at first. Like, do you think that's reasonable? Do you think that's too low, too high?
Well,
what do you think?
I think the minister's now been, or the UK has been saying that we may be able to take in 20,000. I think it needs to be shared out. Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England all should take a proportion of them. if we want to take more, I think we should tell the UK we can take more, but it has to be coordinated. But we have plenty of empty schools, we have plenty of church halls, plenty of leisure centres. We can bring them in and sort it out.
I'll come back to my point, though. You've experienced racism here. How safe would refugees be in this country after the news headlines had died down?
Yes, that's what I mean. It needs to be coordinated. We need to have them put in safe homes in areas where they will be welcome. And I think, by and large, as I said before, people will be welcome. We'll be more welcoming of them.
Okay.
And I think they will be safe to come here to Northern Ireland.
Annalou, thank you very much.
And there is a lot of already social media support for opening our homes. I have pledged to open my own home for people to come. And I think it is
so important. You've pledged to take in a refugee, have you?
I have pledged in to open my home to take in refugees. And I think many people in Northern Ireland will do so.
So what is stopping that happening?
Absolutely. I think we need...
So what's stopping you doing that then?
Well, and also actually our office too, we are opening up our office for people to bring in clothes, food, and then that will be coordinated to send to Europe, where the refugees, large majority of refugees, are now stuck there. So I think we all can do our part. We need to play our part now. This is a humanitarian.
So you're opening up your opening up your office, asking for people to leave clothes in it for the refugees, are you?
Clothes for refugees. If they have sleeping bags, shoes, anything, we will take them. And, you know, we're calling on our own members in the Alliance Party. But if the public wants to do something, my office is number 88 University Street. And we will coordinate that and send them.
What type of clothes do you want people to leave?
Well, clothes that would be, you know, help would sheltering from rain warm clothes.
Okay.
Sleeping bags, shoes, anything.
And how do you bring a refugee into Northern Ireland, Annalou? You say that you're going to put one up in your home. How does that work?
Well,
how do you do that? Where do you get them?
You need to coordinate all this. Westminster need to coordinate all that. We need to bring them in through the border, first of all, and we have them all registered. And then we deliver them to different parts. That was what happened with the so-called boat people in the late 1970s. There were thousands of them leaving Vietnam in leaky boats, similar situations before the fall of Saigon.
Okay.
Before it became a communist country.
Annalou,
it did not bring us down. I mean, we took in several of them. They all settled into Northern Ireland.
Annalou, thank you very much indeed. We appreciate your time this morning. 03030 80 55 55. We'll speak to Claire Hannah from the SDLP in just a second or two. Let's sum up where we are so far. The UKIP MLA, David McNary, has said he absolutely understands the reaction to many people, to the three-year-old child who was photographed, an iconic picture now, who was photographed dead on a beach, a refugee, but he has labelled it as economically hysteric, and he says there needs to be a proper analysis of what this country can cope with in terms of the number of refugees who we are allowing into the country. David Cameron's expected to make an announcement later on this morning as to what a new UK policy would be, his reaction to public opinion. Many BBC correspondents and political commentators are suggesting that the government is about to do a U-turn given the strength of public opinion. Sinn Féin's Deputy First Minister, Martin McGuinness, has said Northern Ireland could take a couple of thousand refugees at first. And Julia in Northern Ireland. Morning to you, Julia.
Good morning, Stephen. I would just like to make the point that this is not very similar to what happened in World War II, where they fled.
Julia, we're missing your mobile. John in Plumbridge. Hello, John. Go ahead, John.
Hello.
Go on, John.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
See all the coalition countries that they said that invaded those countries, they destroyed them. And why are they not stepping up to the mark and they agreed to destroy the country and rebuild it again, which they did not do.
John, thank you. Thomas in North Belfast. Morning, Thomas.
How you doing, Stephen? Stephen, obviously, as an emergency measure, like every other country should be doing, we should be absolutely bringing some of the refugees in. I don't know the numbers. You'd need to have it sorted out by experts, maybe 5,000 in Northern Ireland, 10,000, 15,000 in Southern Ireland. But that guy was on yesterday, made quite a valid point. As far as I was concerned, he was a bit heartless when he was saying about the child. He didn't care about the child. But he made a valid point where he said about the UN doing more inside these countries, and it made me think sort of the way that foreign aid is handed out, because the perception is foreign aid goes to these governments and they're corrupt and it doesn't go to the people. And maybe if there's whatever, say 20 million going to Syria in foreign aid, maybe that can be given to the UN to set up like a camp somewhere where they have proper facilities, medical treatment, and where these families should go as a safe haven, which would stop them, and they would be under the protection of the United Nations, and it would stop them having to take these horrific, harrowing journeys, because kids are dying every day of the week, Stephen. And I know there was a picture there, and it was frightening, and it was heartbreaking to look at, but there's still children dying every day of the week. And, I mean, that needs to be taken on board, but I think that was a valid point. The likes of Syria, Iraq, wherever there is thousands of refugees coming from.
What do you think we could do here in Northern Ireland? What would our part be?
Well, we should be like every other country. We should help on these people. But the problem is, Stephen, say we'll let 2,000 in, get them in straight away, no problem at all. But there's going to have to be a cap somewhere, and that's where the other problem comes.
Well, you've got the former Labour Home Secretary, David Blunkett, right? He's saying that the UK should take in 25,000 over the next 6 months. David Cameron, the reason I'm banging on about numbers today of Martin McGuinness saying 2,000 is because Cameron is expected to make an announcement about the numbers today. So he's expected to actually put a definitive number on it today.
Well, that's what we need to know, Steve, because we're all... Like, I was on Twitter yesterday and I said, like, 10,000, because I don't know. Maybe that was far too high, but, I mean, we'll have to do something to help the people sort of... Because, I mean, these people aren't illegal migrants, so they're not. They're refugees coming into the country. They need help from everybody, and that's, I mean, we have to play our part.
Okay, Thomas, thank you. Claire Hannah from the SDLP. Morning to you, Claire.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Claire.
Well, I do want to address, I think, David McNary's comments on the tiny number of people who've reflected that are completely out of step with people here, and that lack of humanity isn't representative. If you can't put yourself in the shoes of those parents who have had to make those choices, if you can't understand that nobody's going to put their family into a dinghy because they want a change of scenery, or they're not going to get into the back of a lorry for 4 days because they're a bit bored of their job, these are people who are fleeing for their lives. So it's not really about what's convenient for us to do, it's about the moral imperative and the fact that we have a global responsibility to take something on. So I'm completely supportive of all efforts for Northern Ireland to play a role in this.
What should the role be?
Well, the fact is...
So Anna Lowe is now collecting food and clothes on behalf of the Alliance Party in her party office. Martin McGuinness is putting a number on it. What is your policy, Claire? I'm just trying to push the elected representatives this morning in that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
many people are saying this is awful, but what's your hard policy around it? What do you suggest this country actually does?
Well, in terms of our individual responses, what I would say, and I think people have been deeply touched by this and are moved to help, and it's not the most exciting thing to do, but what I would say, what people can do is donate. There are agencies on the ground who know exactly what the acute humanitarian needs are. They have the experience to deliver it. They have the infrastructure. They have the logistics. And probably if you have 10 or 20 pounds or more, give them the money. I mean, it's not... yes, if you don't have that, maybe donate materials in the form of clothes and toiletries and so on. But if you can, give the money, because the money can be spent close to where the problem is happening rather than losing resource in shipping stuff down to Calais or further along. But really, migration is a matter reserved for Westminster. Northern Ireland doesn't have a lot of autonomy, but we need to, and I think we have given clear voice to the fact that Northern Ireland is willing to step up. But the UK and a UK, Europe-wide leaders need to essentially work out a plan. It's not for you or me or any other politician to auction style put numbers out there for how many we're going to take. It needs to be a coordinated response. And clearly the UK and Ireland have not stepped up. If you look at Turkey, for example, has more than the population of Northern Ireland as migrants. There's Germany, who've taken 300,000. We haven't taken anywhere near our fair share of people who are in acute and desperate humanitarian situations. So really, there should be something perhaps like the green card system that allowed people from this island to go to the US. And
how quickly can this all be done?
It can be done very quickly. I mean, this hasn't just snuck up on us. Syria, this crisis has been growing for over 4 years. These discussions should have happened. It shouldn't have taken the photograph of a little boy for this to come. But the fact that what people can do is donate, but clearly this is not, we're not full. Let's not buy into the UKIP rhetoric on this. We have capacity. It's about priorities. It's about the fact that these are...
David McNary says we're being emotionally hysteric.
Well, I don't even want to dignify that disgusting remark, to be quite honest. And like I say, I don't think it's...
What's disgusting about it?
Because it just feels, to understand, this is the same worldview that, to be honest, wouldn't have a national health service. This is a worldview that wouldn't help people in their times of need closer to home. So I don't think that I don't think that we should in any way imply that that's representative. But what we do, this isn't, as I say, about just people making bids and you know, we'll have somebody stay here and have somebody stay there. We need to have an allocation per country. I think there have been... I think the International Refugee Committee have said something like 25,000 for the UK, which I think sounds extremely modest and fewer than 800 here in Northern Ireland. It would work out at approximately 40 per constituency. But there need to be legal and safe routes so that it's not just the case of whoever reaches these shores first. It has to be based on need so that families and those who don't have the means, who don't even have the few quid it would take to pay a people smuggler.
Claire, thank you.
Well.
Thank you very much. Geoffrey Donaldson from the DUP. You're the biggest party in Northern Ireland, Geoffrey. What policy could be created around this for those people who desperately want Northern Ireland to play its part?
Well, good morning, Stephen. I think that the DUP has made its position very clear that we believe we should respond to this humanitarian crisis, that we should open our borders to more of these refugees who find themselves in circumstances through no fault of their own. They've faced religious persecution in Syria. They've had to flee their country because of that persecution, and they've nowhere else to go.
How many?
Well, I've heard some numbers bandied about. We will work with the government on this and to ensure that Northern Ireland takes its fair share. So if, for example, the figure David Lungett has suggested would mean that Northern Ireland would take somewhere around 1,000, 1,500 refugees.
Yeah. David Lungett suggested, as you know, 25,000 in the UK in the next 6 months. So you're saying that would equate to our share being 1,500?
Well, we're only 3% of the UK population, so it might actually be less than that. But I'm saying that those are the kind of figures that would not be unreasonable. Stephen, I think that we can accommodate that. Already, over the last 24 hours, Stephen, I've had offers from local churches to make accommodation available to provide food and shelter for refugees. I've had literally hundreds of my constituents in touch with me in the last 24 hours. Again, some of them offering to make accommodation available. So we do have a budget set aside for this in the Department for International Development for humanitarian aid. So I believe that the resource is there to deal with this. What we need now is for the government to clear the way to enable us to get on with providing shelter and support for some of these refugees.
Yeah, I was asking the question of Anna Lowe. I've reported on, and no doubt you've commented on, Geoffrey, racist attacks in Northern Ireland. People in this country not able to tolerate someone else because of the colour of their skin, their country of origin. Would these refugees be safe in some areas of Northern Ireland?
Well, there is a tiny minority, and it really is a tiny minority, Stephen, in our society that is intolerant to others. When I think, for example, of the Vietnamese boat people who came to Northern Ireland a number of years ago, they successfully settled here. have gone on to do extremely well and have flourished in our society. There's no reason why the same can't be the case. There are far, far, far more people in Northern Ireland who are prepared to reach out to those who are suffering this religious persecution than there are who would be intolerant of it, Stephen. And we can't be dictated to by that tiny minority.
But some people, Geoffrey, also are saying, look, David McNary's coming under flak this morning for calling reaction to that photograph of Three Row Leyland as emotionally hysteric. But there are other people saying, you know, it is a shocking photograph, but we shouldn't be changing policy based on one photograph.
No, and I'm not suggesting that we are, or should, Stephen. I'm a member of the all-party group at Westminster on religious persecution. And actually, we've been pushing now for some time for the government to increase the number of refugees that it takes from Syria because of the religious persecution that's going on in that country. So, you know, some of us have been arguing this case now for some time. And sadly, and it is often the case, Stephen, and you know the power of the media better than most, that sometimes an image, and I think back way back to the famine in Ethiopia and some of the images that came through on the news that resulted in Live Aid and in other initiatives to help people who were suffering starvation. Sometimes those images do have a major impact. And that's a very positive side of the media. Of course, we shouldn't set our policy merely by what we see on our television screens. But we can't ignore the reality that we are witnessing.
Final question, Geoffrey. There will be people in your area that you represent on a waiting list for housing. There will be people in your area that feel that benefit payments are not high enough. What do you say to them if they look at a refugee coming in and getting a house that they want?
Who comes first?
Local people or refugees from a foreign country?
Of course, Stephen, our first priority is to the people who live in this country. That is absolutely the case. Let me say two things about that. I don't think that what we're talking about here is bringing people into Northern Ireland and putting them immediately onto the social housing system. There is other ways in which we can deal with this.
Where would they go? And
if you take my constituency, for example, Stephen, if let's say we get roughly 1,000 people, as an argument, coming to Northern Ireland, if we divide that between 18 constituencies, that's less than 100 people per constituency. That's what, maybe 25 families. I know that we could accommodate that within my constituency without putting anybody off the housing list.
Where would they go?
Well, there's the private market, and there are churches who are prepared to make accommodation available in the short term while we would work all of this out. The most immediate priority is to address the need. In terms of the financial impact, the government already, more than most other countries in the world, has a budget for humanitarian aid. So that money is there, Stephen, and we would expect that Northern Ireland would get its share of that budget to accommodate any people that would come here. So we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul. We are not taking money out of our public services to do this. There is a budget at Westminster already set aside for this purpose.
Appreciate your time. Geoffrey Donaldson from the DUP. Thank you very much indeed. Connor and Clonard. Morning, Connor.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, Connor.
No, it was just, I think one of your callers earlier made a similar point about David McNary saying that it was emotional hysteria, and his party colleague saying that the child died because of its parents' greed.
Let me just remind you what Mr. McNary did say on the programme this morning, Connor, so we're all clear.
It's very easy to, and I do understand those who, perhaps it's their makeup, getting emotionally hysteric over this. It was undoubtedly shocking. A photo in the front of yesterday's papers, as you say, and you'd really need to be a heartless brute not to have been sickened by the photograph of the little boy.
Where's the emotional hysteria around that?
I'm talking about the reaction to it. The reaction to it is, how do we cope with this? Are we going to bring people in to give them shelter, heat and food? Because nobody would say, no, that I wouldn't do that.
You are saying no to that, are you not?
No, no. There's nobody would say, I wouldn't do that. But are we going to give them permanent residence? where will the houses come from? The jobs, where will the jobs come from? And the school places be found eventually? And how will that sit with the people who today in my country are looking for a job, they're willing on a house, and they're unable to get their child the school place that they want?
How do you react to that, Connor?
Just listening to him again there, if he's saying hire our people that are looking for jobs and how's everyone going to react, why don't they do, there's hundreds of houses in Belfast and thousands throughout the north that are lying empty and derelict. Why don't they create jobs by getting people here starting now to get houses ready for these people coming and bring them here? And your last speaker there, Jeffrey Donaldson, I don't normally agree with him, but he said about the Vietnamese boat people coming here and contributing to society and being very successful. I mean, there's no reason why these people from Syria wouldn't be equally as successful as the people that have came. So if David McNary is worried about creating jobs, let's create jobs now and give people work.
Connor, thank you. Fred and Lisburn. Morning, Fred.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Fred.
I disagree to the point. There's a budget for humanitarian aid. There's a budget for international funding for all this. Where's the budget for us in our country? We can't even agree a budget for this country, never mind bring other people into this country. We have got to start by looking after ourselves. And Jeffrey Donaldson is my MP. If the money can be found for this, surely we can find money to sort our problems out. Surely we are...
Well, it's a different fund, isn't it? There's an international development fund for this type of project.
It doesn't matter, Stephen, whether it's a different fund or not. We can't keep bringing people into this country if we can't look after ourselves. We can't start and say, hey, oh, let's open the doors. Come on ahead. No problem. We have not got the money. We have not got the infrastructure here to support ourselves hardly at the minute. We can't even agree if Stormont's going to last or not. We need to sort ourselves out before we sort others out.
Okay, thank you very much indeed.
The Hungarian Prime Minister was exactly right in what he said about his country and about his people first and about the culture of his people before any of the rest of them. And he said that on a BBC interview last night.
Okay, Fred, thank you very much indeed. We're going to clear the decks after 10 o'clock this morning. We're going to continue to take your calls. One of the most reactive subjects the Nolan Show has done in a long, long time. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that really interesting? It's not a locally origined issue, but the vast majority of you want to talk about it today. Something's changed. Something's changed in your hearts and in your minds. Maybe it is because of that photograph.